This Sunday night at the Wharton Center, violinist Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg joins the Moscow State Symphony Orchestra in a program featuring works by Peter Tchaikovsky and Max Bruch. The multi-talented Salerno-Sonnenberg has performed with just about every major symphony orchestra on the planet. She collaborates as a chamber musician with other classical household names. She's also music director of San Francisco's Century Chamber Orchestra. When Nadja joins the Muscovites this Sunday, she'll be led by conductor Pavel Kogan, another global classical luminary and son of famed Cold War-era violin virtuoso Leonid Kogan. WKAR's Peter Wharf caught up with Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg by phone last week. She said she was very excited about partnering with the famous son of a famous fiddler.
You know, I remember when I was a student at Curtis Institute of Music many, many, many years ago, I remember hearing Leonid Kogan come there and give a masterclass. I was too young to play for him, but I remember very clearly sitting in the audience and watching him teach. Yeah. He was, as a player, he was spectacular, incredible player. I remember that the students were scared to play for him. But, you know, my outlook was, I was very young. I think I was maybe 9 years old, 10 years old.
Are you looking forward to maybe even going deeper into this violin heritage that you're a part of by working with Pavel?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's playing the Bruch is always a joy. It's such a grand romantic piece with a very beautiful line that runs through it, and yet each of the movements are so different in character, and to work with this kind of a musician is going to be very gratifying, I know.
Hey, I watched your Bruch performance from the BBC Proms. Super exciting performance. What was the atmosphere like playing at
Proms? Oh, that was crazy. Yeah. Playing there is crazy because the hall is enormous. And if I remember correctly, that concert was in the summer. It was so hot. There was no air conditioning. And, you know, people stand. You felt, when I walked on to perform, I felt like I was walking into the Colosseum. And gonna, you know, battle lions. It's that kind of an atmosphere. It's just enormous. It's enormous. It's a great experience to play there, to feel that energy. Those are people that really, 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 really want to be there. They're standing. They're not even sitting down, the people on the ground floor. They're standing. They're just... The energy there is really palpable. And as an artist, as a performer, you cannot help but feel that.
Yeah, it really looked and sounded like you were feeding off of that energy in a place that almost looks like it's, you know, an arena show with people, you know, sort of crowding the stage and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're right there standing, you see them. There's little movement going on. But also it is enormous in that sense. But really, that's exactly what I felt like I was walking into the Colosseum in Rome.
You're music director and concertmaster of New Century since 2008. How do those roles with your group inform the other things you do, like being a concerto soloist, for instance?
You know, it's funny. My career has taken so many different paths that have brought so much more knowledge about music, you know, a grander scope about music than just the soloist point of view.
Yeah.
And what we are trained to do, you know. And it's lovely, really, to keep adding on these elements into your musical computer, you know, your brain and your heart. And I have to say that playing and leading that orchestra has absolutely nothing to do with being a soloist. It's just a different hat that I put on. If you're asking, does that job affect my playing as a soloist, I would have to say 100% no.
This is Peter Wharf for Current State. I'm speaking with violinist Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg, who will be here in East Lansing on November 9th with the Moscow State Symphony Orchestra. She'll play Brooks' Violin Concerto No. 1 in G minor on an otherwise Tchaikovsky program. I couldn't tear myself away from the many letters to you and your responses on your web form. I really did have to just force myself to stop reading them. Many young musicians, though, reach out to you. How are they an important part of your life?
At this point, they are. That's the most important thing to me. I mean, I've always recognized the importance of education, but the older you get, the more important it becomes. And also because the older you get, the more information you have, the more knowledge you have, the more experience you have. I literally feel like I have to shed this. I have to rid myself of all these things that I know. And the only way I can do that is to share it and just give it to a younger generation through either speaking or playing or teaching or a combination of all these things.
And then what happens to you when you do that?
You feel gratified. I'm of an age now and have been around long enough that a younger generation musician, like someone that's possibly in their early 20s, has a reverence for me which is reserved for old people. And but you know, when you've done all that I've done and continue to do it, then the younger generation kind of wants to tap into that now, just to get the tap my brain. And I'm happy to do it. There's an approach that I have to making music, which is very intense and very all-consuming and very committed. And there are certain people that completely disagree with that approach to making music. But this is who I am, and this is what I do, and I would like to leave this legacy to anyone who's interested.
Do you think that too many musicians try and play it safe?
I think that they're taught that way, yes.
Yeah.
I travel all over the world teaching master classes, and I cannot tell you how many safe, but nothing is happening musically. That is not the focus of the teacher, which I understand. You have to teach a student how to play their instrument. It's very difficult to play the violin. It's a very hard instrument. I totally understand, but there are other elements of making music that are completely ignored, and I don't really agree with that.
What are some of the things that you think are completely ignored that are important to you?
The commitment to the very difficult to explain. You can put it, a musicality. It's a student can be musical, can have a natural musical gene, you know. But why are you playing this piece? Why? What's the point of hearing another Mendelssohn Violin Concerto?
Right.
What's the point of this? What do you feel about this? Do you have any feelings about this piece? Do you have any emotion when you play this piece? This is what is completely ignored.
You think in some cases it takes some living before a player can even begin to understand that?
In some cases, yes.
Yeah.
I remember, it's an interesting question. I remember hearing that when I was younger and just not getting it. You hear this kind of thing all the time. You know, you have a heartbreak when you're 17 years old and your parents says to you, you'll don't worry, I promise you, you'll love again. And that's like, you don't understand.
Right.
You know, when I was young and I was advised not to play the Brahms G major sonata number one, because I was young, I was like 17 or 18 years old playing number three, but I liked number one. I wanted to play number one. I was advised, don't do that. Why? Because you're too young. You won't understand.
many accomplishments in your life, soloist, chamber musician, music director, Naumburg and Fisher Prize winner. You were the subject of an Academy Award-nominated film. You've been on PBS on everything from The Mind to Sesame Street. What are some of your next hopes and dreams?
God, I just got so tired listening to you. We just go to work. We do what we're supposed to do. Like, I look, what do I have to do today? And then very often you don't take a moment to just think about what you've done. Yeah. That was tiring listening to that. Listen, I'm just looking forward to the tour, you know, one day at a time. I'm really, I love working with my orchestra. I'm looking forward to our 25th anniversary coming up in a couple of years and planning for that. I do like my rest time now, though, I must admit. But right now, it's just looking forward to playing this piece with this orchestra and this conductor and being there and having a good time.
Hey, next time you're here, we'd love to invite you to go salmon fishing on Lake Michigan with us.
Oh, nice. I like that. I like that a lot. I love to fish.
Violinist Nadja Salerno Sonnenberg performs with the Moscow State Symphony Orchestra Sunday night, November 9th at the Wharton Center for Performing Arts. Nadja, thanks so much for that preview and taking the time to talk with us today.
thank you for a fun interview.
For Current State, this is Peter Wharf.